Daniel chapter 11, verses 33 through 45. The Antichrist's rise to power will herald a period of trouble unparalleled in human history. Daniel 12:1 and Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. When we consider history's record of wars, natural catastrophes, and persecutions of believers, we must tremble at that which awaits the world. Everyone on earth will share in that awful period of travail, Revelation 3:10. But the saved especially will feel its impact. Jeremiah wrote about that time, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Jacob's trouble. The saved of the church will be gone. See again Revelation 3:10. The Bible speaks of no Gentiles as trusting in or suffering for Christ in that time. We must agree with the Scriptures. Believing Israel, then, will suffer terribly during the Great Tribulation. Some will be killed by the sword, that is, by violent use of weapons. Some will be burned to death. Some will perish through the cruel hardships of imprisonment and slavery. Nor will this be a thing of a few days, weeks, or months. It will continue for many days. Daniel 11, verse 33. All the persecution during the 3.5-year tribulation will be centered against God's remnant among Israel. They will probably be blamed publicly for the problems that the world will face. The ungodly like to accuse the righteous of causing the calamities which result from spiritual rebellion. When, because of their idolatry, God purposed to judge Israel, Elijah agreed with him in prayer and testimony. Their attitude when judgment came was predictable. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that thou hast forsaken the commandments of the Lord." 1 Kings 18, verses 17 and 18. So it will always be. There will be some who help the Jews. Daniel 11:34. After the tribulation, the nations will be gathered to a judgment to reveal who among those still living on the earth will have a place in the earthly kingdom. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. To some, Jesus, the great King, will say, "I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." They won't be aware of having done those things for him, and he will explain, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Prayerful study shows that the brethren to whom Christ refers will be saved Israelites, and so they will receive a little help. Those who help will be comparatively few, but many will make an outward show of uniting with them, only to try and turn them from their faith. They will use all the smooth, blasphemous, flattering, lying arguments, which will be the trademark of Antichrist. No doubt the faithful Israelites will be hated even more when they reject men's reasonings and promises and still refuse to compromise their faith. Do not suppose that this persecution and slaughter will be a defeat for the righteous. Read Romans 8, verses 35 through 37, or 2 Corinthians 4:17. Even the worst imaginable situation can bring victory and eternal glory to those who believe. In this age, God uses earthly suffering to prepare us for heavenly rewards. He will do the same for believers then. God will allow some of those dear Israelitish saints to fall in order to try them and to purge and to make them white. Daniel 11:35. He will work their good for Satan's evil. Compare Romans 8, verse 28 and Genesis 5, verse 20. According to Daniel 11:35, these things pertain to the time of the end, far beyond the day of Antiochus Epiphanes. They are for a time appointed, for the time spoken of in Daniel 9:27. From here onward, the prophecy no longer views the Antichrist through Antiochus, but takes a direct look at him with no intervening typical figure. This allows us to see beyond the limitations of the type. Satan will focus his own corrupt nature and desires into the person of this man, and King Antichrist will prosper. How can he help but prosper in the present world system, which is devoted to the satanic principles of greed, self-will, and the rejection of God? Satan's first sin was, I will, and his desire was to be like God himself, Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 14. So it will be with the evil king who is called Antichrist. His deeds will be according to his will. He will magnify himself above every god, and he will speak marvelous things against the God of gods, Daniel 11, verse 36. Yet Satan can only give success to the beast till the indignation be accomplished. When God has finished pouring out his wrath upon the earth and is ready to judge the Antichrist, all his prosperity will be over. Both David and Asaph spoke of the prosperous wicked, showing their lot to be unenviable, ending in sure judgment, Psalm 37 and Psalm 73. Knowing the things which trouble our thoughts, God reminds the church over and over that there is a final reckoning beyond the scenes of earth. Surely he will remind the godly remnant of Jacob that the Antichrist will fall and Satan's plans will crumble. For that is determined shall be done, Daniel 11:36. God has determined to overthrow Satan and to give a kingdom to Israel. What God determines to do will be done. Nevertheless, for his own glory, God would have Israel and us to see the course of this evil man who will magnify himself above every god, so the narrative continues. The Antichrist will endeavor to break all restraints, Daniel 11:37. He will reject the God or religion held by his fathers. Daniel 9:26 shows us the Antichrist will be Roman, for the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. He will destroy a religious system, figuratively called Babylon. In Revelation 17:18, Babylon is described to John as that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Only Rome fits those interpretive words. No influence of women will soften the cruelty of his power. Even false gods and lying religions often put some check upon their adherents, but he will reject them all, honoring and magnifying only himself. In Daniel 11, verses 38 through 39, we see something of the Antichrist's religion. He will honor the God of forces, which is better translated the God of fortresses, the God of military power. In Rome of old, the emperor was worshipped as the one who controlled lives, governments, and armies. It was a political religion. So also with the Antichrist, in connection with his false worship, it is said, and he will cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. There will be a real sinister spiritual power in it, Revelation 13, verses 11 through 15. But this worship of the Antichrist seemingly will be centered on military political force, just as was the worship of earlier Roman emperors. He will lavish a wealth of gold, silver, and precious stones upon his religion of government conquest. His claim to be God will be tied inseparably to the progress and consolidation of his earthly power. Despite all this, the kingdom of Antichrist will not be the irresistible, monolithic power which most people imagine. It will be part iron and part of clay, partly strong and partly broken, Daniel 2:42. At the height of his power, Egypt, Lebanon, Syria, and perhaps Turkey will mount a rebellion against him. These occupy about the same territory as the old kings of the north and south. Ethiopia, Libya, and others, here called Edom, Moab, and Ammon, will also partially succeed in putting down the rebellion, his greatest success coming in northern Africa. His main assault will apparently be against Egypt, with Libyan and Ethiopian resistance crumbling when they see Egypt's defeat, Daniel 11, verses 42 and 43. While he is still dealing with the situation in Africa, news of new trouble will come out of the east and out of the north, Daniel 11, 44. Israel is northeast of Egypt. These tidings will almost surely have to do with the work of God in the hearts of his people Israel. because faith in God will mean rejection of Antichrist's claims. He will be made furious against Israel and against God. At this point, the Antichrist will overreach himself. Up to then, though his persecution of godly Jews will have been rigorous and unflagging, he apparently will not have set himself to utterly destroy the nation. It will have been a matter only of policy and politics, cold, efficient, and impersonal. But now he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many. Daniel 11:44. It will have become a personal issue to him, one he decides to resolve by mass destruction of the Jews. With this decision, he will go too far, and God will destroy him. His time will have run out. He will make a last stand against God and godliness, setting up his royal encampment between the seas in the glorious holy mountain, that is, in Jerusalem. Daniel 11:45. From there he will direct forces gathered to crush earth's last remnant of faith. Then, suddenly, without fanfare, the career of the Antichrist will be over. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. At the last, the great spiritual and natural forces which agree and conspire to give him power will not be able to help him. There will be no dramatic battle. God will destroy the man and his power as easily as we might destroy a poisonous spider and its web. Compare Isaiah 14:15-17. So shall Satan's mightiest follower be judged for rebellion against God and his Christ.